It's been 45 days since I left eXp Realty and joined Real Broker. I'm going to give you a breakdown of what I've learned so far, what I like, what I don't like, what my experience has been, and some of the biggest lessons that I've learned throughout this process.
The Massive Agent Podcast with lead generation tips and strategies to get you more leads and sell more homes.
I love to buy houses. I like to sell houses.
It takes brass balls to sell real estate.
Wait a minute.
The leads are weak. You're weak.
I've had better.
Oh, have I got your attention now?
Here's your host, Dustin Brohm.
What is up, guys? Welcome to episode 329 of the Massive Agent Podcast. I am your host, Dustin Brohm, here in Salt Lake City, Utah. I made damn sure that I have the right microphone this time. The last episode, the audio was kind of shit. It's because I didn't have the right microphone selected. And, I've only done 329 episodes. You'd think I'd learn how to do that by now. But no, today I made sure to do it. Welcome to the show, guys. A lot to share with you in a short period of time today. I'm going to give you a recap. I've been at Real Broker now for about 45 days after 6 years at eXp Realty, 45 days at Real Broker. I'm going to break down what my experience has been like, what I've learned, what I like, what I don't like, some stuff that blew my mind a little bit, and more importantly, what I've learned as a result. I've learned some very, very big lessons here because, like I told you in the previous episode where I announced all the reasons why I was leaving eXp for Real, I told you I was not looking for this year. Leaving eXp, switching brokerages at all, was not on my 2024 bingo card, but opportunities don't wait for a convenient time, okay? And spoiler alert, this has been one of the most amazing experiences of my career thus far, and I'm going to explain exactly what I mean shortly. If you are new to the show, welcome. I'm Dustin Brohm, your host here in Salt Lake City, Utah, and I want to make sure that you guys are taking full advantage of the resources that you have as real estate agents. First off, Keeping Current Matters. Really, if you haven't test driven Keeping Current Matters by now, KCM, in other words, you really need to, because all of your competitors in your market, the top producers, the agents that you go against on a regular basis, they're all using the KCM tool. They all are using this team of, I almost said prognosticators, but that would be a dorky word to use, so I'm not going to use it. They use this team of experts, economists, and really thoughtful researchers and analysts who study everything there is to know, all the nerdy shit about the housing market, interest rates, and economic headwinds, the macro, the micro, all the stuff. And then they just tell you what you need to know, but more importantly, what it means to your clients, how it's going to affect your buyers, your sellers, your investors, and you personally, if you're also an investor. They just give it all to you in a nice little tool called Keeping Current Matters, and you can try it yourself for free over at trykcm.com/BAM. You can thank me later. Make sure you do that. And then the BAMX community, BAMX keeps coming out with amazing resources like the, the Lead Magnet Masterclass. They just rolled this out. If you're a member of BAMX, you just get it because you're a member. They keep adding new resources and courses and masterclasses to the BAMX community. Learn more about that over at nowbam.com. And when you join BAMX, use code MASSIVE at checkout and save yourself some money off the annual subscription. And if you're going to do it, it's already cheap enough. Make it cheaper. Use code MASSIVE. Let's talk about my experience over the last 45 days at Real Broker. So if you missed my episode four weeks ago or so, something like that, where I announced I was leaving eXp and going to Real Broker, I really dive into the reasons why. I'm not going to do that so much here. I'm just going to, today's really to share my experience and, you know, has it been good? Has it been bad? All that stuff. So if you want to know the reasons, go back to the previous episode. I think it was four episodes ago about why I am leaving eXp and going to Real, if you care about that. But today I'm going to break down the lessons I've learned as a result. In hindsight, it's crazy how stressed and overwhelmed and how much it weighed on me, especially in January, as I was considering this move, how it really, in the beginning, felt like a giant punch in the gut. Until I started to do the research, until I started to really ask, wait, what if this is the best thing? What if this is exactly what I've been looking for? What if I've just been building the right thing in the wrong place? But there was a good week or so where it was a lot. It really was a lot. And my wife helped me through that and helped me see that, hey, maybe this is exactly what you need. She reminded me sometimes the grass is greener, but I wanted to make sure that it wasn't just a little bit greener. It had to be a lot greener. And so one of the lessons I've learned is sometimes the grass is greener, but make sure that if you're trying to find greener pastures, I know I'm mixing analogies here, but you get the point. If you're looking for a better opportunity, make sure it's much better, right? Don't just go from one thing to another and go through all this pain in the ass, because switching brokerages for any of us is a pain in the ass. Like it's not the hardest thing ever, but the larger your business is, the more deals you have pending, the more, like if you have a team, the bigger it is, the more moving parts and the harder it is to switch. So don't just do that to save, you know, a couple thousand dollars a year, right? Or less, or to like, there's agents. I'm not going to go down that road. Just make sure that if you're looking for a better opportunity, you look for a much better one. All right. And sometimes there is a much better one, but you have to ask critical questions of the place you're at that you think is so great in order to really see what could be much better. And like I told you, like I said, opportunity does not wait for a convenient time. This did not come at a convenient time for me. I was busy as hell, and I've gotten even busier as a result, but in all the right ways. Okay. This is, I'm going to give you this spoiler alert. Okay. I'm just going to sum this all up here. In the last 45 days, I spent 6 years at eXp. That brokerage changed my life. That business model changed my life. The people I worked with changed my life. No doubt. In 45 days, I realized, holy shit, this is way better than I even thought. I knew Real Broker would be much better, right? I thought so, but it was all theory until I did it. It was all like, I think as soon as I open the door to that room's going to be much better for me. It's going to be much better for us. We're going to be able to grow so much more. I mean, honestly, we're going to be able to make so much more money and all of that. But it was just theory. I wasn't in the room yet. I had to throw the door open, run inside, and really experience it. And over the last 45 days, I can tell you, Real Broker is way better than I thought. So, and I'll explain a few different ways, and then I'll really sum up the lessons that I've learned here. I'll start with revenue share, because this is a major part of my business. I run a referral / revenue share based team model, right? And revenue share is a major part of what I do. It fuels my business model. Without revenue share, I could not do what I do. I could not spend all day, every day working with, coaching, mentoring, and helping agents to scale their businesses. I'd have to be scaling mine. So revenue share makes it possible for me to pour into my agents, right? I'm not going to share any specific numbers because I believe I'm not even allowed to, right? For whatever reason, I don't know. But let me just say this. And if you have questions about what I'm about to say, you want me to show you, you want me to dive deeper, I'm happy to. I just can't do it here on the podcast. But over the last, in 30 days, my first 30 days at Real Broker, my revenue share, what I earned in revenue share at Real Broker with, you know, far few agents, like far few agents than I had over at eXp, because I left 340 at eXp. I had much less here. In 30 days, my revenue share was more than my last revenue share check at eXp. That boggled my mind. I thought it would take 4 months, 5 months, 6 months to get back to where I was. Not even to get back to the highest point that it was, which, by the way, was like 2 years ago, right? The most I ever made in revenue share at eXp happened like 2 years ago. And it's just been going down ever since, which is weird because my team was getting bigger, which is part of the issue. 30 days, my revenue share surpassed what my last check was at eXp. I didn't think that was possible that fast. What's really cool is it's better for all of the agents that came with. It's better for all of the agents that saw the same thing I did and took the leap with me. They are all making more than they were before. They're attracting more agents than they were before. Doors are opening for them that were never open when they were at eXp. So as far as, you know, as far as our people, it's overwhelmingly positive. I mean, like, there's no negatives. I mean, there's like a couple like stupid little like, hey, it took a while to transfer this deal from here to there. You know, the paperwork, whatever was shitty. That's not really like a real thing. That's just like paperwork bullshit and state stuff. But they're also happy. Everyone who I'm working with, all of our agents are so happy and they're thriving. They're getting more business. They're more efficient. They are attracting more agents. They're making more money. And that's exciting as hell because I know that that's going to help me to do the same, right? I'm just removing all the sugarcoating. I'm being honest with you. This is a business. So I'm not going to pretend that this is all kumbaya. I'm here to make money. But the way I do it is by helping agents to make a bunch of it, right? Revenue share, way better than I thought. It happened much faster than I thought. That's as detailed as I can get about that part. The culture. I felt like Real would be a better culture fit for me, that the agents at Real, that the community, that just everything about it felt like it would be a better fit for me. I don't even know if I mentioned this on the last podcast, but it's still hard to sum this up or to put words to it. But while I was at eXp, I never felt like this was a bad company or bad opportunity. Like I didn't feel that way. Like, oh, this is shit. I didn't feel that way. But I also, in hindsight, I knew something was missing. Like I didn't fit into their community somehow. Like, and I still can't quite describe why, but it just didn't feel right. And just in the last 45 days here at Real, I know that I'm home. The agents that have reached out, that have offered assistance, that have just offered congratulations and said hey and introduced themselves, it just feels so much more at home. I feel like for me and my personality and who I am as a person, how I do business, and the type of agents that I like to be around, Real is our home. It feels right. And I can't tell you what a cheat code that feels like when you know you're in the right place, when your butt is in the right seat. It's a cheat code. You have this wind in your sails every day. Like I wake up every day excited as shit. Even still, 45, I'm more excited today than I was when I first joined, when I first made the announcement. And that's because I know that I'm home and I know that this is the right company. I know that I'm in the right place with the right people at the right time. What's really cool is I have not been asked. I maybe once or twice, but I can't remember anyone at Real asking me, so whose downline are you in? It's really refreshing because it doesn't really matter at Real. That's not like the priority, right? It's important, like who you're partnered with, who your business partners are, matters, of course, to you, but to everyone else, like they're just glad that we're all together in one big company. And I know that that sounds kind of kumbaya, but that's real shit. And it's not fake. It's authentic. And I love it. It feels right. The technology at Real, it's 100 times better. It's 100 times better. It's so well done. It's common sense. It's built right from the start. You can just tell when you use a great piece of technology, when you log into some piece of software or use some app, you know that it's built right. It works so seamlessly and intuitively, and it has all the features you want, even some stuff you didn't know you needed. Right. But not in like an overcomplicated way, just like, holy shit, I cannot believe how comprehensive this is. The technology, there's one login for everything, not like 50,000 different logins or one login to one page that then gives you 50 links to a bunch of other pages you got to go log into. It's just so well done, all in one place. The mobile app, the Real app, is absolutely incredible. And our agents are saying the same thing. Some of our agents, I don't necessarily agree with this. I don't think this is the wisest thing, but I understand. They are getting rid of their transaction coordinators because they say it's so damn easy to manage transactions with the Real app. And I'm like, well, that's you still want a transaction coordinator. But they're like, look, it's so much faster and easier. They feel like they don't need one anymore. Okay. It's just that well done. So you don't recognize what great technology is until it's actually in your hands. And you're like, oh, okay, so that's what it's supposed to be like. Holy shit. So that's been great. The opportunity, I'm gonna have to do a separate episode about this, but the opportunity for financial growth here, not just growing your sales, not just revenue share, but the growth of the company, right? Becoming shareholders, accumulating shares of stock, and having the chance for that stock to go higher, a lot higher. I didn't feel like that was still possible at the old company, but here I believe it absolutely is. I mean, it's already up like 40% over the last week or so, which is great. But because of what's called Real Wallet, the Real Wallet project that is coming in just a few months, they're going to start rolling this out. It's already built. It's already approved by all the regulators. Real Wallet is, how do I sum this up? What Real is about to do is unveil something called Real Wallet. They're going to issue, so everyone on their Real app is going to get a notification one day here in the next few months saying, hey, congratulations, your Real Wallet is open. They're going to issue a debit card and a credit card to every agent in the company. Now, why would they do that? Well, they're creating a digital bank account, the Real Wallet, for every agent at Real. So every agent can use this. You don't have to, right? You could always absolutely still use your Chase business account or your Bank of America account or whatever you're using for your checking account. But you have the option to use the Real Wallet. All of your assets, your commission, your revenue share, your stock, if you've invested in the company in Real Mortgage or Real Title, your quarterly distributions will all flow through your Real Wallet. So all your commission, if you want it to, will flow into your Real Wallet. Why is that important? Well, when you do that, you now have this digital bank account with a debit card, right? Whenever you swipe that debit card, Real is now earning transaction fees. They're earning interchange fees. So instead of Visa, MasterCard, Amex earning fees whenever you use your debit card, Real is about to. So it's going to become a huge profit center for the company. Now, that's just whenever you swipe your card, you're earning rewards and points. So the more you use your card for lunches, for signs, for running Facebook ads, for hiring a coach, for going to a conference, whatever, right? Every time you swipe your card and use it, you're accumulating points and rewards, which start to pay down your cap and your fees. So producers and those who use their Real Wallet account a lot will eventually not have any fees or cap to pay at Real just from using the card. I'm planning on using it as my business, as one of my business checking accounts, and that's very exciting to me, but not as exciting as the next part. I told you they're going to issue a credit card. The Real credit card is going to be based off all of the assets, the unique assets that you have flowing through your Real Wallet, your commission, your past transactions, your future transactions, your revenue share, your stock holdings. If you've invested in Real Mortgage or Real Title, any distributions you get, all of those things are predictable assets, predictable cash flow. So everyone in the company who has assets flowing through will get a notification on their app. Hey, congratulations. You've been issued a $50,000 line of credit based on your assets here at Real, and you could accept it or you could use it or not. But now you've been extended credit, a line of credit, not based on your credit score, but based on how many deals you close. Deals you have closed, deals you will close, revenue share, stock. And now you can use that line of credit to grow your business. And as you do, and as you pay it back, who's getting the interest? The company. Real broker is getting the interest. That's it. What's going to happen, aside from giving agents the tools to build their business that other brokerages can't give, right? Like you just got to go to Chase. You've got to go get a loan. Real is now creating another profit center. And now I believe, and what a lot of people believe, is Real will start to become valued by Wall Street, not just as a real estate brokerage, but as a financial technology company, more like a bank with financial technology, which I believe is going to be great for the stock. Maybe it's not, but I believe that to be true. That excites the shit out of me. I want to use all of that. All of our agents are very excited about that because it's giving you the tools to be an entrepreneur. So the opportunity, I think, is bigger than anywhere else in the industry. My opinion, of course, you may disagree. You may think all of that's complete bullshit or worthless, not exciting. That's okay. I think it's pretty damn exciting. And pretty much everyone I talk to agrees. If you want more of a rundown, if you want to learn what that looks like, I'd be happy to run you through it, get a little bit more in detail, but that's the gist of it. So the lessons that I've learned here, all right, like I said a few times already, opportunity doesn't wait for a convenient time. Sometimes you're looking for something, you're praying for something, and it could be right in front of your face, but you're just not willing to see it. So the lesson there is open your eyes. What if what you're looking for is right in front of your face? What if what you're looking for is this, right? You're listening to this podcast and this is what you need, but you're like, oh, that sounds great, but no, not for me. Maybe it's not for you, but what if that's the thing that you need? Opportunity doesn't wait for a convenient time. And sometimes what you need is right in front of your face. Also, some things that I've learned as a leader, all right? Never assume that your people are happy. Never just assume that your people are happy. I learned after making my decision, doing my research, and then deciding to talk to a few of my leaders, and I was like, wait, these are people that I thought would never leave EXP. And now they're telling me they'll leave today? What? This became a common theme. I'm starting to realize that people were not loyal to the company, especially that company. They were loyal to the people. They didn't want to leave us and they felt trapped. They were not happy. They had a lot of issues, a lot of frustrations. And then once we said, hey, we're thinking about going over here and doing this over here instead, they're like, oh my, thank God. Yes, please. They weren't happy and I had no idea. I learned I need to check in with my people more often and to never just assume that they are happy. That was a big lesson that I learned. And some of them we lost because they weren't happy. I didn't know it, but they weren't happy and they went somewhere else. Big lesson learned. Never assume your people are happy. Always strive to give more and do more and at least be, I guess I have to do better at having, this sounds so stupid, an open door policy, right? Where they feel safe enough to come to me if they're having a frustration, if they're mad about something, if something's not working the way that it should be, if they're unhappy. I really want to create the environment where they feel safe coming to me with that. And so big lesson learned there. Also learned it can be very healthy to be selfish. It can be very healthy to be selfish, to put yourself first. I don't mean to be selfish at the cost of others. That's not what I mean. But how often in your business do you put yourself first? I don't mean you neglect your clients, put your needs over theirs. Not what I'm saying. It's not what I'm saying. Always put your clients' needs over yours. But what if you just have to put your own needs first over your brokers? Or your brokerages, or your need for, or you don't like change so much that you're just like, well, I'll just settle for this and settle for this. Be selfish. Pick, like, if you could pick the ideal situation to be in, would that include stock options? Would it include revenue share? Would it include financial technology? Would it include training and technology? And would it, or would it be what you have now? If you ask yourself this question, I'm not this big stock investor expert guy, but something that I've learned a while ago from someone much smarter than me was, if you're ever wondering if you should sell a stock, reverse it and ask yourself, would you buy that same stock again today? And if the answer is no, you got to sell it. If you wouldn't buy it back at the same price today, why are you holding it? Let it go and get something else that you believe in. Same thing with your brokerage, with your team, with your business structure, with anything you're doing in your business. If you wouldn't pick what you're doing today Like if you were starting over from scratch, if you would not pick what you're doing today, that means you're not doing the right thing. What would you pick? If you were starting over from scratch today, where would you go? Which brokerage would you choose? What business structure would you choose? And then do that. Be selfish. Put yourself first, for God's sakes. Put yourself first. Because when you put yourself first in the right situations, in business, in this context, you could actually be, you're gathering the platform, the tools, the resources to help all your other people, your clients, your friends, to thrive even more. But it's sometimes in this context, it starts with you being selfish first. Get what's yours. It's possible. It's out there. Where you're at right now is not happening in a vacuum. There's everything else great in the industry. All these other, there's Real Broker. We're doing all these awesome things. It's happening, whether you realize it or not. So open your eyes, be selfish, and then pick the best place for you to accomplish your goals. Pick the people that you want that will help you do it, and the place that makes it possible to do it, and get there. Stop waiting. And don't wait until, oh, well, spring market just started. It's getting busy. Okay. You're going to wait until what? December? You're going to wait until December to do it? Really? And suffer through another year of shit? Or at least underperformance? It's healthy to be selfish and to put yourself first, as long as no one else is getting hurt in the process. I think you know what I mean by that by now. And lastly, I've said this before, but sometimes the grass is greener. Sometimes the grass is way greener, but make damn sure that you're doing it for the right reasons. I'm confident that I made the move that I did for the right reasons. I was very happy to see how fast it's built back. And I don't want to say that I wish I would have done it sooner. Yes, that'd be nice, but I believe that it happened when it happened for a reason. So I'm not overly worried about, oh, I wish I would have done it a year sooner. Like maybe it wouldn't have even been right then, but it was certainly right now. And I'm just glad that I saw it. And I hope for you and I pray for you that you see that your eyes are open enough to see the opportunities that are right in front of your face that are right for you, that you need, because opportunity does not wait for a convenient time. The opportunity you need could be sitting right in front of your face. Are you going to grab it? Thank you for listening so much. Thank you for leaving reviews. Thank you for sharing episodes. Thank you for your messages. Thank you for your connection and your friendship. Thank you. Appreciate you guys so much. I'll be back next week. Take care.